David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today. It is Dr. Ed Feinberg, and he is an author as well. He has the book Open Wide. He's a dentist, and he has a lot of great knowledge that he's going to share with you today and go over a lot of topics that people experience with their teeth. And he's going to educate you on a lot of things that you didn't know that you should know. So, Dr. Feinberg, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm honored that you've taken this time to teach people about things they really need to know. Before we begin, can you tell people a little about yourself?
Yes, I have a very unusual background in dentistry. My area of expertise is crown and bridge work, but I grew up in dentistry. My father was a master and pioneer of full mouth reconstruction and crown and bridge dentistry, and I learned everything from him. And what I learned from him is not taught in any dental school. So what I'm doing is totally unique, but comes from the roots of the profession. I have 100,000 pictures of crown and bridge cases that go back to 1950. All the teeth prepared and handled the same way, and the cases followed for decades with x-rays. So the basic principles that I teach on my teaching website have a real track record, unlike a lot of what I see going on in the dental world today.
You know, I think it's so important that people understand what goes on when it comes to dentistry. Like I had mentioned to you earlier, when you go into a dentist's office, most people don't understand dentistry. They don't know a lot about their teeth. They don't, you know, so they trust the dentist and what the dentist has to say. And so I think it's really important that you're taking the time to explain the different aspects of dentistry and go over things that people really should understand when it comes to dentistry. Now, before we begin, I'd love to touch base on hygiene, good hygiene, because that's something that a lot of people approach me with. They want to know how can they take care of their teeth? How could they avoid getting cavities? How many times should I floss? And all those other great questions that come along with it. You know, what are some of the tips that you can give people to keep their teeth healthy and strong?
Well, first, I think people should have a basic understanding of what dentistry tries to do, what is going on in the average mouth. And the whole ball game that determines whether or not you're going to hold onto your teeth is the bone and the roots. And when I talk about the bone, I mean specifically the bone around the teeth. It's called the periodontal bone.
Yeah.
And the teeth are attached to the periodontal bone with the ligament. And the way people get into trouble is usually with losing their teeth is when something happens to the bone. Dentistry does not know how to grow it back. And
Right.
dentistry has never figured out how to reattach the attachment to the bone.
Right.
So everything that we do in dentistry is geared from preventing the bone from being lost, because that is the whole ball game.
Right.
So there are different things that cause bone loss. There are things that we don't have control over, and that would be systemic conditions like diabetes, cancer, heart disease, genetics can affect the bone in ways that we don't fully understand. But most of the time, we do have control. And the number one thing that contributes to bone loss is letting tartar and plaque and calculus build up. And because that can cause the gums to become inflamed, and that can spread to the underlying bone.
Right.
So the single best thing that any patient can do for their oral health is hygiene at home, and also to have their teeth cleaned regularly. And yes, it's true, some people can end up losing teeth from decay. And that's another reason why it's so important to have regular checkups. Because if you go regularly for examinations, a small problem can be corrected before it becomes a whole major mess. And then you're into a lot of expense and all kinds of treatment. So it's the best advice is to go regularly to have hygiene and to also be diligent about taking care of your teeth at home. And everyone's different. I have some patients that can come every 6 months. They have a healthy mouth, and whatever they're doing at home, it's fine because when they come into the office, you could see that their mouth is healthy. And I have other patients who should come every 3 or 4 months, and they have some problems with being able to keep their teeth clean and with also problems with the gums becoming inflamed, and you don't want that to get out of hand.
Right.
So that's why some people actually need periodontal treatment and more than just having regular hygiene at the dental office. So everyone is different. And so that's dentistry in a nutshell. And the other thing is, like, my area of expertise is crown and bridge. And the way I was trained in crown and bridge is that it's corrective dentistry. And that's possible because of Wolf's Law. Wolf was someone in the 1700s who figured out that bone is deposited w in accordance and resorbed in accordance with the stresses put on it. So when you do dentistry, the object is to minimize the forces on the bone and the roots. So my whole plan is to bring the crown and bridge work closer to the bone, minimize it, make them smaller rather than bigger,
Yes.
and put the least amount of stress on the bone and the roots. And that will yield a lot of success because as people get older, their bodies can tolerate less. So what a younger person could get away with, an older person is first going to have breakdown and trouble. So you
Right.
have to go do everything that you know in order to compensate for things that are wrong in order to prevent disease from continuing. So that's what I do. My whole goal is to beat disease
Right.
and prevent the patient from losing their teeth.
I love it. I love it. Now, you had mentioned that there are a lot of things that people should know when it comes to, when it comes to crown work and when it comes to bridge work, and that there's a lot of things that people don't know that they should know. And so, what are some of those things that you had mentioned earlier that you really want people to understand when it comes to crown work and bridge work and so forth?
Well, what I see now is a lot of dentists do not have good crown and bridge skills. They're having a lot of difficulty with crowns falling out and decay under crowns. These
Yeah.
problems were solved in the 1930s. This is sad. And this
Yeah.
is why I have my teaching website,
Right.
because these are not problems that I have.
Yes.
So much so that a lot of dentists, even famous dentists at dental institutes, don't want to do crown and bridge. So there's an absolute epidemic of tooth extraction and implant placement. And much of the time, I could save those teeth. And I think implants, except in certain circumstances, should be a last resort rather than a first resort.
Right.
So I'm seeing a trend toward overly invasive treatment on patients. And a lot of this is not going to work because I can see they're making big superstructures on implants, for example, that are clearly not long enough to support those superstructures. And as we were talking about earlier, anything that you do in the mouth is engineering. And the
Yeah.
same basic principles that apply in the structural engineering world also apply in the dental world. And I had just alluded to that by trying to minimize the forces on not only natural teeth, but also implants as well. But this is what I see. And patients should understand that they have choices, and there's more than one way of doing things. And I think I get very good results with crown and bridge where I don't have to put any implants in. For example, if let's say someone has a virginal mouth with no periodontal bone loss and no fillings, and one tooth is missing for whatever reason,
Right.
that's a perfect place for an implant because you don't want to touch the teeth around it. However, that is not what you see when you go to the lectures. What you see are teeth that have big fillings in them, are going to need crowns, have decay, have problems,
Yeah.
and now there's a big trend to putting implants among those teeth, which makes no sense
Right.
because that patient would be better served with bridge work, which can do something good for the entire area, and that's the end of the patient's problem, rather than a single tooth implant that fills a space and does nothing for the teeth around it, and the patient's problems are never solved. So I think, and a big part of it is because dentists don't know how to do good crown and bridge. They're not being taught properly how to do good crown and bridge. The techniques that are taught are incorrect. And I can say that because my dad and my dad's teacher and me as well don't have these problems that I see almost everybody around me having. And that's a big shame. That's a real shame. And that's why I teach them how to do things properly. But a lot of people are not receptive because there's an over another trend, which I don't like, towards economics and workflow rather than longevity and health, which is where I came from. And it's wrong. And I'm not afraid to say it because I can show cases in the mouth that I did 30 and 40 years in the mouth with no problems. That doesn't mean that everyone has that because it's dependent upon changes that occur. And it can be very difficult to determine when dentistry should be replaced when changes are happening minimally and gradually. That can be very difficult to determine. But at a certain point, sometimes some people need after 10 or 15 years to replace the dentistry to compensate for those changes. And other people get away with it for 30 and 40 years and don't have to.
That's so true. Even when you mentioned about the crown, my daughter had an infection underneath her crown, and everything had to be, they had to take out the crown, they had to extract the tooth, they cleaned out the infection, and then they had to put a fake tooth in, and then they put a crown on. And it was, and I'm like, how does a girl her age go through all this? And you had mentioned too that the technology today is not that great, and they're not, then they should be going back to the way they did it before.
I w didn't say that.
Oh,
Um,
I'm sorry. I
some, te
misunderstood you.
some technology is not that good, and some technology is an improvement. Because I always look at things through the lens of basic principles that I believe in, I can tell in a second whether it's any good or not. So I'll give you a perfect example. One of these things that's terrible is crowns in an hour. And the technology is very cool, I said, but technology is only a tool, not an end in itself. And so people are impressed with it, but the end product of one of those, because what this technology is it mills a crown, chair side out of a block of ceramics. What is the end product? The end product is exactly the same as the old high-fusing porcelain crowns that were baked in an oven in the 1960s. You think we didn't know what was wrong with them? The problem is they are what you call butt joint restorations, meaning that you prepare each tooth with a ledge and then you make the restoration to that ledge. Well, they can never be sealed because bacteria or microns, they can never be sealed. Bonding, all those things don't really seal anything in a sea of moisture and bacteria. That's really true, and that's been shown many, many times. So when I make crown and bridge work, I make that up with the model of the mason jar cover, which is the best known thing ever devised for food preservation. So I almost never get decay under my crowns, even in patients who are extremely susceptible to decay. And so I'm not having these problems. I also get a good grip on the root, so I don't have crowns falling out. And I treat many teeth flush with the gum, and I don't build them up, and I don't put posts in them. I don't do fancy orthodontics to get more tooth structure above the gum. I don't do any of those things, and I don't consider those teeth any different from any other teeth, because my approach is completely different from what's being taught. So dentists are being taught to hang their crowns off of whatever's sticking above the gum, and I only care about what's below. So I do that all day long. And I have techniques to make temporaries that don't fall out as well, that are more modeled on this model. And this is what I want to teach. And I find a lot of younger practitioners are not receptive. I think a big part of it's so sad because When I got out of dental school and I went on my residency program, and when I was done with that, I went in with my dad. I learned everything, and I had no pressure to produce on me, and I only could focus on quality. And as I became better, I became faster. But now these dentists get out of school with debts of $500,000, and the thing they think about is, how am I going to pay this back? And they're forced into a production mindset, and their skills are rudimentary. They have no foundation, they're rudimentary. And because they're pushed into that mindset too early, they end up never becoming good. They never give anything back to the profession. And it's a lose-lose-lose for everyone. This is terrible. We didn't have that. We didn't have such debts when we got out of school. And so we focused on, and we also knew that we didn't know anything. A lot of them get out and they think they know everything. I've never seen anything like it. We knew we didn't know anything, and we would do everything that we could to learn, which I still take a lot of continuing education. I want to see what they're doing, even if I don't agree. Because you can't, it's a learned profession. You have to keep up on top of things, and you want to get better. I want to do better, but I'm not going to sacrifice what I believe in order to do that. And some of the technology is that way.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Same thing with implants. You know, we started doing implants in our office in the early 80s when they first came to this country. I've seen everything with implants. I know they're no panacea. They have pluses and minuses, and where they're indicated, they're wonderful. But where they're not, that is a mess, and it could be a terrible problem for patients. So I would like patients to understand that they have choices. And dentists are just like physicians. We have all different levels of knowledge and skills, and they shouldn't be afraid to seek another opinion if they don't like what they've been told, or if they want to see if somebody else has something different to offer. That's because I've just seen, like, patients, they'll do that for a medical problem, but usually they just do whatever their dentist tells them to do, and we're no different. That's really true. So that's what I would like to encourage them.
No, definitely. I hear that all the time. I see it with friends and family members. They don't go for a second opinion. I had to force my mother to go for a second opinion, and the doctor gave her a totally different option. So it is good to go for a second opinion. It doesn't matter what, profession, an industry that doctor is in. They really need to consider, it's okay to go for a second opinion. You have that right. You're not, they might feel bad, or they don't want to insult the doctor, or that, they might worry, but that's your body, and that's, you have to look at it. This is, and having an infection in your mouth is so dangerous. You don't want to play around. When, if you have problems with
That's
your teeth,
right.
you don't want to play
That's right.
around.
I never have a problem with patients going for another opinion. I said, come back and tell me what they said. I'd be interested. And they can do whatever they like. My job as a dentist is doctor means teacher. My job is to educate them. And so when they first come to me, I want to see what's wrong, what needs what can be done to correct the problem. What are their choices? What do I recommend? That's what they came to me for. It's their choice to do whatever they want. They can go to somebody else if they want to. But if they want to come to me, then they at least know how I feel and why I feel that way. And I spend a lot of time talking to them because I feel they're entitled to the education. And I also sit down with specialists to find out if I don't know thing, I don't know everything either. But I'm willing to find out. You see, that's what's different that separates me from everyone else. So I sit down regularly with an orthodontist, sometimes an oral surgeon or a periodontist, What can you do for this patient? What can you do for that patient? That's
Right.
part of my assessment, of so I can sit down and talk to the patient. On your behalf, I went and spoke to this specialist, and here's what he said that could be done. So
Yes.
sometimes problems fall into the area of orthodontics, and then I'll refer them.
Yeah.
Sometimes it needs a combination, and sometimes also we need a consultation from an oral surgeon or an
Right.
endodontist. Store and I'll send x-rays to an endodontist. Can you tell me, what's going on here? What do you think I should do? Or what do you think
Right.
about this? That's important. I just want to know. And then I pass the information on to the patient.
Right.
And so that's my job. And then a lot of them are going they're going to say yes because I talk to them in a way that nobody else does. And
Right.
but I never push them into anything because one choice they have is to do nothing. No
Right.
one's going to die if they lose their teeth. They're not going to die.
Yeah.
So there's nothing life and death, and they have a choice, and they should be sure that this is what they want to do if it's if they need a lot of treatment,
Right.
and they're willing to go through whatever it takes. And I'm not going to do things in a hurry because all I care about is the finished result, that they should
Right.
get the best result. Because what does it for me is that they get to be my patient for many years and they come in year after year for their hygiene visit. And I
Yeah.
get to watch the work that I did last in health for decades. That
Yeah.
is why I'm a dentist.
I love it. Now, are there some things that you really suggest that that patients need to be aware of when they go to see a dentist? Are there things that they should look out for? Are there things that they should be, should they have a list of questions, or is there anything that you suggest for the patient to protect the patient?
Yes, I think that, kind of what we were just been talking about is listening to what they have to say, not being pushed into making any kind of decision. You should think about it.
Right.
And if you don't like what you've heard, you should get some other opinions. There's nothing life and death that can't wait until you're sure that you want to do this.
Right.
If somebody puts too much pressure on you, take a walk.
Yeah.
That's not right. I wouldn't sit for that. So that's my yardstick. My yardstick is if you had the same thing, would you want this treatment that you're telling a patient to do? That's a very good yardstick.
Yeah.
This is the Hippocratic oath. First, do no harm. Somebody tells you you should extract all your teeth, run away because there's no rush. You'd be surprised how much teeth that are bad, how long they can last. And
Right.
I've seen miracles. I've done miracles. I could show cases that are absolute miracles that no one would ever expect
Yeah.
that would work. So I have had patients who didn't want to lose their teeth, and I set up the mouth temporarily to see what nature would give back. And
Yeah.
a lot of times all the disease went away and everything tightened up. And you corrected all the things that were wrong with the temporaries, and now
Right.
you can make this case. I have some unbelievable miracles that I can show that shows that the body does heal and things aren't always as hopeless as people make it out to be. It's just that their knowledge is limited. So when
Wow.
somebody especially says, "Oh, you have to pull out all your teeth and we're going to put all these implants in," that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Because even if that's the direction, it's much, much kinder to ease somebody into major restorative changes than to do something drastic. So, I go to a lot of these lectures where one of the things that they're pushing now is this all on four, where they pull out all the teeth and in one visit they put four implants in on, let's
Oh,
say, the top
wow.
and four on the bottom, and then they put the dentistry in right away, which you're not supposed to do
Right.
because you to give the implants a chance to fuse with the bone before you load forces on it. But
Yeah.
they're doing all this experimental stuff. And we never get to see when we go to these lectures whether the patient was comfortable or whether it held up because they don't show any follow-up.
Yeah.
That's awful. And everyone's sitting there looking at this. And I get up and I say, this is malpractice. I mean,
Yeah.
they should show evidence that this works. Let's see the case is 5, 10, 15 years later. Though they haven't been around for 10 or 15 years. But 5, anything less than 5 years, you can't evaluate that. If that case didn't hold up, is that something you should be doing? I don't think so. I look at things again through the lens of basic principles, how I would want to be treated. And I wouldn't sit through that. That's my opinion. I've eased patients, when I know they're going to need major restorative changes, I try to ease them into it. I'm not in a hurry. And have transitional restorations. They can navigate, they can be comfortable. And then later on, you can always decide what to do. I also have other options for treatment for patients. Like instead of some patients are not good candidates for putting implants in all over the mouth. And usually it's in the back because on the upper, the bone is spongy and the sinuses, which are hollow cavities, are in the way. So you can't put implants in that are long enough. And in the lower, sometimes there's no bone above the mandibular nerve. And if you were to put implants in of the proper length, you'd be into the mandibular nerve. You can't do that. So I know how to make a precision attachment case. And I wrote my first book on that subject, a textbook on that. Invented in 1906, works on the worst teeth you ever saw, and nobody knows anything about it. And I mean, it's so sad. I can't understand. And not only that, it's a no-brainer with implants. I could put three implants in the front, make a fixed bridge and a double till precision attachment, partial denture for the back teeth, stay away from all bad anatomy, less surgery to go through, very predictable. And I have some of these cases in over 26 years because they first came to this country in the early 1980s. And when they first came, everybody was doing things the way Dr. Brånemark, who was the inventor, said to do them. Today, anything goes. It's like the Wild West. And I guess I live in the Wild West now. But this is all over the country. So that's what I see everywhere.
Oh, wow. Now, you wrote a book called Open Wide. Can you tell me a little about Open Wide?
Yes, that's actually a collection of blogs that I made for my teaching website, which is www.theonwardprogram.com. So the blogs are on different subjects. Some of them are very uplifting. Some of them are about interesting marketing things that I did. Some of them are scathing indictments of things that are wrong and that I don't like the trends and things that the misconceptions that are all over dentistry, specifically crown and bridge.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And there are unfortunately a lot of misconceptions, and they're being taught in the dental schools. And most people have no idea. It's so sad because I really believe that if dentistry or any profession is going to advance, anything new that comes down the pike must be compared to the standard of what came before, or you are not advancing. And that's the problem with technology. Some of it violates these basic principles. And as dentists, we are responsible for the outcome, not the means by which we arrived at that outcome. But because there's such an emphasis on workflow and economics, put something in, make a quick buck, this has just taken over everything. And it's so wrong. And so that's, I'm the gadfly of dentistry.
I love it. Now, where can people find your book?
My book is on Amazon.com, along with my first textbook, which is on the double tilt precision attachment case, which was written for dentists. I'm also writing my third textbook on crown and bridge work. Yeah, it's a lot of work. So it's going to take me a while to complete that. And my teaching website is www.theonwardprogram.com.
Now, if you had to take today's discussion and you really wanted to emphasize on some important factors, what are some of the things you'd like to emphasize to the listeners today?
Well, first, these are pretty much the things that we discussed, so this is a good summary. First would be prevention. Prevention is everything. If you can avoid major problems by taking care of your teeth, that is the best thing you could do for yourself and your oral health. And also, if you have unhealthy gums, that's a direct route for bacteria of the mouth to go into the bloodstream and cause physical problems. And they've shown this correlation. So the single best thing that you could do is to have your teeth cleaned regularly and make sure that you keep your teeth and gums in good shape. And then also a minor problem you could correct before it becomes a major problem. That being said, a lot of people need more extensive treatment than just preventative treatment. And they should be sure that they are getting the treatment that is right for them. Everyone's different. Everyone has different needs. Some people are good candidates for sophisticated dentistry, but some are not. And they should both have choices, whether they are one or not. They should have choices. So if a patient doesn't like what they've heard, they should seek another opinion. You have nothing to lose by hearing what someone else has to say. And you always have a choice not to do any of it. That's a choice too. So no one should ever push you into doing any kind of treatment. It is not life and death. And what you do, you want to last and have a track record. So a lot of people are only concerned about doing cosmetic work, but then they have all these problems that can lead to infections and all kinds of other problems. Really, health is the most important thing, and the most important reason for doing dentistry is to correct the things that are wrong so that you don't end up losing your teeth.
100%, 100%. Now, can you go over like the different services that you provide?
Well, you mean as a dentist?
As a dentist, and you mentioned your courses, I just like a little rundown so people just remember all the different types of things that you do.
Well, the first thing I do is doctor means teacher. So I look at myself as a teacher and I want them to understand what's going on in their mouth, what's good, what's bad, what needs to be done, what their choices are. That's the very first thing. And then as far as treatment goes, I have options for patient treatment that no one would even occur to them. And this is kind of one of the things that I was teach because of the way I was trained. I have a completely different background than anyone else, and I'm trying to raise the level and the standard of what's being done in the dental world. I'd also would encourage them not to be overly impressed with technology. Technology is a tool, not an end in itself. And while it is cool, and I love technology, I know what its limitations are, and I could size it up right away. And as I mentioned, we are only responsible for the outcome, not the means by which we arrived at that outcome.
100%. Can you tell everybody one more time where they can find you?
You can find me very easily. My teaching website is www.theonwardprogram.com. So Theonward program.com. And Onward actually stands for the Online World Academy of Restorative Dentistry. That is an extension of the academy that my dad founded in 1964 called WARD, the Westchester Academy of Restorative Dentistry. And, after my dad passed away, it became obvious that people didn't really want to go to lectures. And so we converted it into online. And the advantage is that I can reach people worldwide rather than being confined to a small geographic area. So I have 34, 35 courses on my website. And some of them are free. The basic philosophy courses are free. And a few other courses are free. And the documents library, I have a lot of documents in the documents library, including my dad's book, which you can download for free. So anybody can go with, you don't have to be a dentist to go and look at that. And all my information is in the About Dr. Feinberg section of my website. So I have my speaker's packet and my CV and how you can get in touch with me. So I'm
Right.
very easy to find.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So if you ever come back from Phoenix and you decide to move back to New York, I'll be your patient.
No one ever comes back.
It's true. It's true. After a certain age, they all leave. I know.
Well, actually, I had to leave for personal reasons because I lost everybody in my family. And if my sister used to live here in Arizona, and she passed away before my mother did. And then I moved in with mom, and then I did not expect her to pass away, and then I couldn't stay there. And at the same time, I sold my practice to this really nice guy and a very good practitioner, but he didn't really want to learn anything from me, and it was not comfortable for me. I didn't want to stay there. So I thought, well, if I'm going to move, I might as well really move. And that's what I did. But I do miss a lot of the people I know from New York, and I do get back regularly. And I have my buddies who are helping me run the website, and they're almost all from New York.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Dr. Feinberg. I'm so glad you came on the show. I hope you'll be back again and we can talk some more in maybe in more detail about certain topics. But thank you so much. Your knowledge today was outstanding, and I think it's so important that people learn. The one main thing that sticks in my head is that it's okay to go for a second opinion. And it's important that you really take care of your teeth and really, if you're not comfortable with something, it's okay to go to for a second opinion.
Absolutely. And that's a really good message. That's the message I want to communicate.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Feinberg. This has been a pleasure, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it, and I would be happy to come back anytime.
Oh, I really look forward to it. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too.